good. Mmm, good. That's what Campbell's soups are. Mmm, good.
From Hollywood, the Campbell Soup Show, starring Jack Carson. Yes, listen to Jack Carson, Freddie Martin and his orchestra, Arthur Treacher, Jack's nephew Tugwell, played by Dave Willock, little 8-year-old Norma Jean Nilsen, Irene Ryan, and yours truly, Del Sharpin. Here's something to make special note of. Your grocery store has the new pack Campbell's Tomato Soup. Now you can have it again, plenty and often. So tomorrow, take home a couple of cans. I'm betting your family will go for it. Because Campbell's Tomato Soup, you know, is the soup most folks like best. Say, it's enough to make you hungry just thinking about those luscious, sun-ripened tomatoes. Campbell's blend them into a satin-smooth puree with fine table butter and just a touch of seasoning. Mmm, good. Now, how about bright plates full at supper tomorrow? Remember, your grocer now has the new pack, Campbell's Tomato Soup. Well, Jack's campaign for county commissioner is rolling merrily along. Tonight, to try for the parents' vote, he's going to appear at one of the local schools. And here talking it over, we find Jack Carson.
So you see, Tugwell, each week the upper grades at Norma Jean's school have a meeting in the auditorium. It's a sort of round table discussion.
Yeah, I know about that, Uncle Jack, but how come you're going to be there?
Well, it was Norma Jean's idea. The students choose some adult each week to preside at the meeting, and since I'm running for county commissioner, Norma Jean convinced the pupils.
She convinced them that you were an adult?
Tugwell, why are you so dense? The Parent Teachers Association sponsors this thing. It will be a great chance for me to strengthen my vote in the homes.
Now, let me get this straight, sir.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it, the children have this open forum.
Yes, Treacher, but of course the parents will be there, too. And during the discussion, I'll get a chance to show off my rather brilliant grasp of world affairs.
Yes.
Now, I don't know whether I liked your tone or not. What could I say to the parents that could also be understood by the child mind?
Well, why don't you just put it in your own words, sir? Then the children can explain it to the parents.
I choose to disregard that, Treacher. The most important reason I want to preside over this meeting is on account of my opponent on the ballot, the present commissioner, O'Toole. You see, his small son is a student there, and Norma Jean tells me that he has been poisoning the other children's minds against me.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about that, Mr. Carson. After all, how much can the child say?
How much does he know?
Tugwell, sometimes it baffles me to think that a man as stupid as you make me out to be could raise a nephew as clever and brilliant as you are.
Well, I never thought about it before, but now that you mention it...
Tugwell. Fellas don't seem to realize that this meeting tonight is very important to my campaign. The school where it's being held is in Commissioner O'Toole's district. And naturally, all the parents are voters who...
I'll get it, sir.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Norma Jean.
Well, hello, honey. We were just talking about you. Come on in.
I just came from school, Mr. Carson, and it's all set for the meeting tonight.
Oh, that's good.
And they even put a picture of you up in the assembly hall.
Well, a picture of me?
The only trouble is that some kid drew a big mustache on your face.
Drew a mustache on my face?
Yes, and we don't know who did it.
Well, that shouldn't be so hard to find out. It was obviously done by some kid who doesn't like me.
That's what the teacher thought. So she questioned everyone to find out who didn't like you.
Yes?
48 kids have to stay after school today.
Norma Jean, I thought you were organizing the kids at school.
Oh, I have. I've even got a Jack Carson fan club started.
Oh, well, that's more like it. How many are in the club?
One other girl and me.
Only one other girl?
Yes. Her name is Betty. I can talk her into anything.
Well, at least that's one supporter. And, of course, if you got Betty, you can certainly get others.
I don't think so. I had to go into kindergarten to get her.
Hey, Uncle Jack, who do you think drew that mustache on your picture?
I think it was that awful Wilbur O'Toole.
You mean Commissioner O'Toole's son?
Yes. He's sure a mean boy. He's going all over school spreading lies about you.
He is, huh? What has he been telling the kids?
Well, Wilbur said he went to see your picture, two guys from Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that Dennis Morgan is a better actor than you are, and that Dennis Morgan is better looking than you are, and that you weren't funny at all.
Come, come, child, get around to the lies.
Preacher, I'll handle this. No matter what Wilbur does, I'll make such an impression on those parents tonight, there'll be no doubt which way they'll vote when the election comes.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Carson, I'll see you tonight at the school assembly hall.
Okay, honey, so long. And let's see now, what subject could I discuss there tonight? I ought to pick out something I really like to talk about.
Well, that narrows it down to two subjects, Milwaukee or Jack Carson.
Yes, doesn't give Milwaukee much of a chance, does it?
Very funny. I'm referring to such subjects as world affairs, in which I am very well versed. As far as that goes, I'm really up on almost any subject.
Oh, stop kidding yourself, Uncle Jack. Wilbur O'Toole will be there, and I'll bet you he'll ask you a couple of buttes.
Oh, yeah? Like what, for instance?
Well, supposing he wants to know the density of the radiation vapor that follows atomic fission.
Atomic fission? Yeah. Well, I'll just say that the coagulation, you see. The whole thing sort of, it's kind of, well, it's caused by, if he asks that, I'll kill him.
In view of the possibility of your being subjected to an embarrassing barrage of questions, it occurs to me that a trip down to Miss Ryan's bookstore might be very profitable.
Why?
Well, she has reference books there, sir, and you could well sort of sharpen up a bit.
Then maybe you're right, preacher. I'll go down to Miss Ryan's knick-knack nook right now and see if she's got some books that might help me. Hello there, Miss Ryan.
Oh, it's Mr. Carson.
Yes, yes. How are you feeling today?
Oh, I guess I'm about as well as could be expected.
What seems to be the trouble this time?
I don't know. I just never seem to have very much vitality.
Well, isn't there something you can take?
Oh, my goodness. I've taken about everything there is to take. This past week, I've been trying to... out an old Indian remedy.
You've been trying out an old Indian remedy, huh?
Yes, it's made out of herbs and roots and bark and stuff.
Mm. Did it make you feel any better?
No. Now I feel like an old Indian.
You do look a little saggy around the wigwam, but... Miss Ryan... And what I came over here about was, well, I'd like to write a book.
But, Mr. Carson, aren't you overdoing it? You've read two books already this year.
Yeah. I have?
Yes, don't you remember? Last month you read What Every Young Bachelor Should Know. And then you brought that back and took out What Every Young Girl Should Know.
Well, when I ask the questions, I like to know the answers, too. But this was a book in connection with the open forum tonight. You know, the Parent Teachers Association?
Oh, yes. I'm a member, too, and they're going to let me introduce you tonight. Oh, I do hope that you go over as well as you did when you spoke at my women's club.
Oh, did your club really like me?
Oh, I should say so. The girls are just crazy about you. You won't believe this, Mr. Carson, but I mentioned your name to one of the girls yesterday, Gladys Mulkey. And she swooned.
No. She really swooned at the mention of my name?
Yes. Of course, Gladys has dizzy spells anyway.
I see.
And speaking of that, I haven't been feeling up to par myself lately.
Oh, yes, yes, you told me. But about the book I wanted, Miss Ryan, you see?
I didn't know what it could be. I would get this sharp pain in the middle of my back, and it wouldn't go away.
Yes. Well, that's too bad, Miss Ryan, but...
Oh, it was a terrible pain right between the shoulder blades.
Yes, yes, yes.
I finally went to a doctor, and he gave me a thorough examination.
Well, what was causing the pain? A touch of neuritis?
No. It turned out to be a sharp stay in my corset.
Well, that's very interesting, Miss Ryan, but I really don't think...
You men are lucky that you don't have to wear corsets.
Yes, well, I'd rather not talk any more about a subject that doesn't...
You have to lace them up the back, you know.
Miss Ryan, please, I don't care...
Sometimes I think it would be a lot easier if I did the whole thing with a rear-view mirror.
Yeah, Miss Ryan! Look, I know you have your troubles, but all I wanted to see about was a book. You know, a sort of reference book, so I'll have a lot of subject at my fingertips for that discussion tonight.
Yes. You know, at these open forums, we select the brightest students in the school.
So they tell me. I guess I haven't much to worry about. After all, I'm a grown man, and they're just children. Still, I wouldn't want them to make me look bad.
Oh, don't you worry, Mr. Carson. You're an actor, and you're not supposed to be smart. It should be very helpful.
Oh, let me see it.
Oh, another customer.
Hello, Miss Ryan. Hi there, Jack.
Hello, Dal.
I'm bringing back that book I rented, Miss Ryan, and here's the 10 cents I owe you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Sharpton.
Say, you ought to read this book, Jack. It's called How to Be a Detective.
Dal, don't tell me you're really a Dick Tracy at heart.
No, Jack, but it's a very intriguing book. It shows how to make use of your mind.
You can't be a detective just by reading a book.
Oh, yes, I can, Jack. I tell you what, I'll bet I can tell you everything you did yesterday.
Everything I did yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, let me concentrate. You got up, and after you had breakfast, you wrote a long letter.
Well, that's amazing. How in the world did you know I wrote a letter?
I saw your wet bathing suit on the clothesline.
Yeah.
His wet bathing suit? What's that got to do with a letter?
Jack's got one of those fountain pens that write underwater.
I tried it out in the tub, but it's awfully hard to see what you're writing through that bubble bath. What else did I do yesterday, Dal?
Well, along about 11:30, you pulled down all the blinds and locked yourself in the house for 3 hours.
Gee, how did you know that?
I saw the mailman deliver your copy of Esquire.
This is really baffling.
Well, right after that, you left the house and bought a corsage of gardenias. Mm-hmm. Then you walked down to the market.
Yes, yes. I gave the corsage to the butcher, but there's still no meat.
Well, then you went across the street to the grocer's, and he told you that the new season's pack of Campbell's tomato soup was going like wildfire.
Yes, yes. I've got faith in this boy. I knew he'd work it in sooner or later.
Yes, the grocer told you that wise housewives are stocking up on the new pack Campbell's tomato soup right now because it's the soup their families like best.
Yes, it is wonderful. We have a cafeteria at the school where Mr. Carson is going to speak tonight. The children just love it.
Oh, you bet they do, Miss Ryan, and that goes for me, too. I can get hungry any time just thinking about Campbell's tomato soup. It's so bright and tempting, and then there's the deep-down, zesty flavor that comes from extra luscious tomatoes smoothly blended with golden table butter. Mmm, good.
Yes, yes. Adele, what else did I do yesterday?
Well, you knew the grocer was right when he told you to stock up on the new pack Campbell's tomato soup, so you took some home with you, and you all had it for dinner, and everybody was happy. Well, I'll see you later, Jack. So long, Miss Ryan.
Goodbye.
So long, Dal.
Why, Mr. Carson, wasn't it terrific the way he told you everything you did?
Oh, Miss Ryan, I didn't want to spoil his fun, but I wasn't even home yesterday. I'll see you later at the school tonight.
Now for the magic music of Freddie Martin with Clyde Rogers and the Martin Men, Old Buttermilk Sky.
Thank you. I'm keeping my eye peeled on you. What's the good word tonight? Are you gonna be mellow tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky.
Oh, buttermilk sky.
Can't you see my little donkey and me?
Donkey and me.
We're as happy as a Christmas tree, heading for the one I love.
I'm gonna pop her the question, that question. Do you, darling, do you do? It'll be easy, so easy, if I can only bank on you.
Oh, buttermilk sky, I'm telling you why. Now you know, keep it in mind tonight. Cross the most clouds out of sight.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Oh, buttermilk sky.
Oh, buttermilk sky.
Don't you fail me when I'm needing you most.
Needing you most.
Hang a moon above her hitching post. Hitch me to the one I love.
You can if you try. Don't tell me no lies. Will you be mellow and bright?
You know, Trincher, this book I got from Miss Ryan is just filled with facts. Look, how the grapefruit got its name. Why a cat always lands on its feet. Listen to this. A turtle doesn't have a date with another turtle until he's 22 years old. Imagine that. Isn't that amazing?
Well, what's so amazing, Uncle Jack? You were 27 years old before you
ever... Never mind. I was a very shy boy. My father always sheltered me. Matter of fact, for years, I thought that girls were just boys who couldn't afford a haircut. Don't bother me, fellas. I'm trying to memorize some of these answers.
Mr. Carson, you know, I know a capital question that won my uncle the grand prize on a quiz program.
I don't say... What quiz program?
Well, it was on the BBC in London, sir. Something like Take It or Leave It. It's called Accept It or Jolly Well Pop Off.
Sort of the same thing.
Yes, sir. Yeah. You know, it was quite a difficult question that my uncle answered.
Yes, I'm sure it was, but some other time, Preacher.
But
I want
to... This is a very valuable piece of information, sir.
It is?
Yes, sir. The answer to the question was, there are 77 E-flat chimes in Westminster Abbey.
That was the answer?
Yes, sir.
Well, what was the question?
How many E-flat chimes are there in Westminster Abbey?
What a coincidence!
You see, there used to be 80 chimes, but now there are 77 because three of them were out of tune.
Gad, what J. Edgar Hoover would give for a piece of information like that.
Yes.
Please don't bother me, teacher. I've got to read up some things here. See, here's something I never knew before. A sardine has more bones than any other fish. There's only one animal with less intelligence than a gopher. It's the South African two-toed sloth. He hangs by his feet from the trees.
By his feet? My word, the whole world must look upside down to him.
Yeah. He must feel like a pedestrian trying to cross Sunset Boulevard. All right, here's one on geometry. This ought to stop those smart kids. A straight line is the shortest distance between two points. A straight line, What won't they think of next?
Gee, don't tell me this is the first time you ever heard of that, Uncle Jack.
Not necessarily. I knew it all the time. It probably just slipped my mind, that's all.
That's very possible, sir. There's not much to get a grip on there.
That'll do. Well, I guess I better be getting over to the school. I'll take this book along with me and memorize a few of these things on the way.
Okay, good luck, Uncle Jack.
Tally-ho, sir.
Don't you fellas worry about a thing. This'll be a cinch.
So glad you're on time, Mr. Carson. The auditorium is practically filled already.
Do you mind if I peek through the curtain and take a look? There is quite a crowd, isn't there?
Yes, we'll go right out on the platform and I'll introduce you.
Okay. Oh, just a minute. I want to take one more look at my notes. A straight line is the shortest distance between two points. A sardine has more bones than any other fish. What animal has less intelligence than a gopher? The South African sloth. Okay, Miss Ryan, lead the way.
Everybody, as representative of this district's Parent Teachers Association, it is my pleasure to bring you another of the open forum discussions between the students of this school and someone in public affairs. Tonight, as chairman, we have the candidate for county commissioner, Mr. Jack Carson. You sit right over there at the head of the table, Mr. Carson.
Thank you.
Now, this student here is little Donald Wilson. He's 12 years old, and he was highest in his class during the entire school year.
Well, how do you do, Donald?
Good evening, Mr. Carson. Welcome to our open forum.
Thank you.
We students feel that we benefit progressively by these intermittent contacts with the more mature apperceptions.
Oh, yes. Indubitably. You took the words right out of my mouth.
And we always have a pupil from the younger grades, and tonight it's Norma Jean Nilsen, whom I think you know already.
Hello, Mr. Carson.
Hello, honey.
And this young man here is Wilbur O'Toole. You know, he's the son of the man you're running against for commissioner.
Oh, yes, of course. So this is Wilbur O'Toole, eh? Aye, we're a bright-looking little man, aren't we?
Ah, your sister drives a beer wagon.
My sister drives a beer wagon. Yes.
Now, Wilbur, just because your father is opposing Mr. Carson in the election, that's
no... Don't you worry, Miss Ryan. I'll take care of this myself. Now then, children, just what shall the subject be tonight?
Well, there are several interesting topics that I can think of.
Yes?
There's the neo-activated cosmic rays, and there's Stauffer's theory of globular geopolitics.
Norma Jean, do you have any suggestions?
Well, I...
What's the matter with Donald suggesting?
I didn't ask you. And Wilbur, remember, it's not polite to change the subject.
Change it? You ain't even been on it yet.
Now, Wilbur, we mustn't quarrel. When we think we are losing our tempers, we must always count up to 10.
I don't think you could make it.
Wilbur, I don't see that this is getting us anywhere. Perhaps Mr. Carson would like to pick his own subject.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Donald. As a matter of fact, I was going to bring up the subject of space. Space and its relation to interplanetary travel. To begin with, we must remember it's indisputable that a straight line is the shortest distance between two points.
I think you'll find, Mr. Carson, that Professor Einstein might argue with you about that. His famous theory expounds the formula that outer regional space is curved, so a straight line is not necessarily the shortest distance between two points.
It's not. Well, yes. There was some talk about that, but...
You see, Euclid's conception was blasted by Einstein's paper on the electron and cosmic rays in the infinity of curved space and adopted by the Congress of Science.
That's right, Carson. And just where does that put you with your argument?
Did you know that a sardine has more bones than any other fish?
It's just like my old man said. This guy is a character.
I think Mr. Carson is right. A sardine does have more bones than any other fish.
That's got nothing to do with the subject. And besides that, he's wrong.
Oh, yeah? Well, name one fish that has any more.
The Australian gibblefish, or Typhus catechorus, has 500 more bones than the sardine.
How do you know?
I counted them.
Well, what's the next subject?
Boy, you got a lot of nerve to run against my old man for commissioner. Why, my dad built 3 railroad bridges in this county. Name one constructive thing you ever did.
Well, I...
Mr. Carson fixed the wheel on my wagon once.
Thank you, honey. But let's not digress. I happen to have a dandy question, and I'm sure you students will enjoy it. It's about nature. And, of course, that's always very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Here it is. Which animal has less intelligence than the gopher? I told you it was a tough one, and maybe I'd better repeat it. Which animal has less intelligence than the gopher? Now, I'll give you one little hint. It has small, beady eyes and a flat head.
Oh, I've got it.
Yes, what is it?
It's you.
It's a South African two-toed sloth. He hangs by his feet from a tree.
It could still be you.
Now, Wilbur, that will do. Anyway, the time is nearly up, and I'm afraid we'll have to close the discussion.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'd like to ask him just one more question.
You heard her. The time is up.
What question did you want to ask?
You know, the stickler, the killer.
Oh, I don't think it would be fair to ask Mr. Carson the stickler. Why, no chairman has ever been able to answer that one. Well, last week we had a college professor and he failed.
Yes, well, thank you and goodbye.
Yeah, well, I guess he wouldn't know the number of E-flat chimes in Westminster Abbey anyway.
No. Hey, wait a minute. Did you say the number of E-flat chimes in Westminster Abbey?
Yes, but it's not a fair question. You don't have to
answer. I want to. It so happens that there are exactly 77. There used to be 80, but three of them were out of tune.
Gee, that's absolutely right. I think we all owe Mr. Carson an apology. Imagine knowing the answer to that one.
Oh, Piffle, it wasn't anything at all. I know lots of things like that.
Well, I suggest that the audience give Mr. Carson a little round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'd like to say right here that if I'm elected to the office of commissioner, I'll do everything in my power to provide an adequate supply of milk for our schools. I propose to take the bull by the horns and demand it.
Well, I'm glad we're walking home together, Norma Jean. It's really a lovely evening.
Yes. My, I certainly was proud of you there tonight, Mr. Carson. You sure showed everybody how smart you were.
Thanks, honey.
Oh, gee, here comes that awful Wilbur O'Toole. Let's cross the street.
No. There's no reason to do that. You should never run away from facing an issue. Honey, you'll find that in life you must meet your opponents fairly and squarely. And sometimes by being kind and considerate to them, you can change an enemy into a real friend.
Not Wilbur O'Toole.
Oh, yes, I can. Look, I'll show you how it works right now. Well, we meet again, eh, Wilbur?
Yeah.
Now, Wilbur, I don't want you to think that I have any hard feelings because of this evening. You're a fine, upstanding young man, and I know your father is just like you.
Yeah.
If he defeats me at the election, it'll be because he's a better man than I am. That's how a democracy works, isn't it? And as far as you and I are concerned, may we always be the best of friends. Okay?
Yeah.
Good night, Wilbur. All right. You see how it works, Norma Jean? To make a friend, you must be a friend.
Hey, Mr. Carson!
Yes, what is it, Wilbur?
Your sister still drives a beer wagon!
Jack Carson will be back in just a moment. Good hot soup. Now, that's a fine way to add appetite and nourishment to family meals these autumn days, especially when the soup is that all-round family favorite, Campbell's Tomato Soup. This, you know, is the soup most folks like best for lunch, for supper, or as a delightful start for dinner. Your grocer now once again has Campbell's Tomato Soup, for the new pack is in, made from extra luscious tomatoes, specially grown from special seed, picked at perfect ripeness. They're blended into a smooth, rich puree with fine table butter and gentle seasoning, according to Campbell's exclusive recipe. A recipe that puts matchless flavor in every spoonful. Mmm, good. And extra nourishing, extra delicious, anytime you fix it as cream of tomato by adding milk. Well, either way, let your family have it soon and often. Remember, your grocer now has the new pack, Campbell's Tomato Soup.
Mmm, good. Mmm, good. That's what Campbell's soups are. Mmm, good.
Well, that's all for tonight, folks. I've certainly enjoyed being with you, and I hope you'll let us all come visiting again next Wednesday. See you then.
Mmm, good. Mmm, good. That's what Campbell's soups are. Mmm, good.
Columbia Broadcasting System.